Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's Friday, which means tonight we have 5+ hours of local high school football coverage coming your way on the Big X Sports Radio. I'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. We call it the Kentuckiana Kickoff Show. It's live not only on the Big X, but also 93.9 The Ville in Louisville. We preview big games on both sides of the river in the 6 o'clock hour. Of course, New Albany and Jeffersonville, both coaches will join me to preview the big Indiana game of the week, or Southern Indiana game of the week, I should say, between the Red Devils and the Bulldogs. But also we'll preview some big games tonight, Male and St. X. On the Louisville side of the river, that's one that we'll focus on, and I promise we'll get you all ready for kickoff at 7 o'clock tonight. Then at 7, we have multiple games we'll be wrapping around the area to cover. Of course, New Albany and Jeff is where we expect to spend a lot of time tonight. It's a rival game. Both teams have had some early struggles. I think there's a lot of similarities between New Albany and Jeffersonville, at least thus far in this early high school football season, but we'll spend a lot of time with that game. We'll also have some opportunity to get updates from Silver Creek and Providence tonight, and we'll have correspondents across the area who will give us call-in reports from other games where we don't have the opportunity for play-by-play. I'll also be in the studio anchoring everything for you tonight, and we'll have regular scoreboard updates. I know a lot of people want to know what's going on at multiple games across the area, and we'll have regular updates and highlights for you throughout the night. When everything wraps up, when everything goes final in week 3 of high school football tonight, we'll have the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show, and that's always fun because in addition to the scores and some highlights, results from across the area, we also get to hear from victorious head coaches. We also get to talk with media members. It's really a great summary of what happens each Friday night in high school football, perfect to listen to on your way home from a game. I know we get lots of people that tune in from across the area to see what exactly transpired that Friday night in high school football. So make plans to join us, whether you're going to a game tonight and you want to check up on other games as well, or maybe you can't make it to a game but you want to keep up with the New Albany Jeff game or with your favorite high school. We'll have some coverage all around the area tonight, and it starts at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School Kickoff Show. Let's look at the guest lineup today here on the Hoosier Report, presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Segment 1, we have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Tip-off times were announced yesterday for Indiana basketball. We now know the start time of almost every game. There are some big ones that they still say to be announced because of television purposes and other reasons. But in addition to knowing the schedule, knowing the dates, knowing the locations, knowing the opponents, we now basically know all of the tip-off times and the television opportunities as far as what network, or is it online, Big Ten Plus only, Big Ten Network, is it a nationally televised game? We know a lot of that as well, basically all of that as well for the upcoming season, with the exception of a few kickoff times, or excuse me, tip-off times. I've got football on the brain today, but it will be fun because we know everything that I think we're going to know on paper about this team. We know everything about the schedule. We know everything about where things stand. Now it's kind of, when do we get our first glance at the team? Maybe a little scrimmage at Hoosier Hysteria, exhibition game, a close one against Marquette. Probably won't learn a lot about that. I don't think a lot will sneak out of there, but maybe a little bit. And then, of course, Gannon, a Division II opponent, the Indiana team will take on in its one public exhibition game later in October before the regular season begins. We'll do all that in the headlines segment, and then later in the program, we will be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call to talk IU basketball, the latest with some recruiting stuff, new scholarship offer out yesterday to a 2020 player. We'll talk some about that and more with Jared Morris when he's with us, and also about the team and the conference for this upcoming season. And then we'll close things out today with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. More basketball recruiting, maybe a little bit of high school football as well when Kyle is with us on the program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Our Hoosier headlines are presented by Zaxby's each day on the program. And Indiana, after being picked 10th, we said yesterday, by Lindy's, one of the preseason magazines. Athlon, who's another long-standing preseason publication, they have picked the Hoosiers to finish 9th in the 2019-2020 Big Ten Conference team. They've got five Big Ten teams ranked in their top 25 in college basketball. Michigan State, preseason number one, according to Athlon. Also, seven Big Ten teams they have projected to make the NCAA tournament. Indiana, not one of those teams, but Michigan State, Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, Illinois, Michigan, and Iowa, who Athlon projects will make the NCAA tournament. Cassius Winston, a preseason first-team All-American from Michigan State. And, of course, Michigan State going to highlight a lot of the preseason honors, preseason awards, preseason teams, and things like that. Also, this is interesting. Trace Jackson Davis was the Athlon Publications pick for Big Ten Newcomer of the Year. They also project NIT teams from the conference, and Indiana is listed as a NIT bid for this upcoming season. I do find that it's very interesting that a national publication thinks enough of Trace Jackson Davis and his potential that he could be the newcomer of the year in the Big Ten Conference as far as freshmen go. That would obviously be a huge boon for Indiana if Trace can come in and play at that level, and I think many think he can, and really help Indiana maybe get a better finish than 9th or 10th, which is where a lot of the preseason publications have him as far as this point goes. Recruiting in the 2020 class with Jordan Geronimo in the fold now as a verbal commitment. Everybody wants to know what's next for this team, and there are a number of offers out. But are any of those players realistically going to ultimately pick Indiana as their college home? Another player to add to the board yesterday, a point guard. His name is Andre Curbelo. He is from New York. He plays at Long Island Lutheran High School. And again, a point guard seems like a very intriguing prospect. He actually is a Puerto Rico native. He has offers from more than 30 schools, and he's ranked number 52 nationally by the 24/7 composite rankings, which is higher considerably than any of the IU commitments currently in the fold right now. So Indiana, are they getting to the table a little late with a scholarship offer for Curbelo? Perhaps, but we'll see how it plays out. It definitely expands the 2020 recruiting board as far as who's available and potentially who the next big target for IU basketball coming in after this season could be. One other recruiting note, Dawson Garcia. You want to talk about an intriguing prospect, a center at 6'11" and 220 pounds. He is from Prior Lake, Minnesota, so he's got a connection, obviously, to IU assistant Tom Ostrom, who's been very active in recruiting the Minnesota area and bringing Race Thompson to Indiana as well. He tweeted yesterday that he's going to narrow his list. He said he's going to cut his list soon. A lot of people think that Indiana will likely be on his list. Don't know if we're going to see two or three schools like finalists, or if this is going to be a group of schools, 5 to 10 schools on the list. But again, people think Indiana will at least be in the mix for him. Ultimately, if he were to become a Hoosier, have no idea or not, but 6'11", 220,
Big guy on the inside could be an interesting addition for Indiana, and another name to watch very closely in the 2020 class. High school football tonight, I told you at the top of the program, all about our coverage tonight. It begins at 6 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio, and I don't know that there will be a bigger matchup of the night and really of the season than New Albany and Jeffersonville. Anytime the two schools hook up, basketball obviously takes the cake, but football really good, baseball programs really good, other sports there's great competitions and rivalries as well. But tonight with this football game between Jeff and New Albany, the Red Devils 0-2, New Albany is 1-1. I sense a lot of similarities. There's a lot of talent on these teams. There's a lot of athleticism on these teams. There's a lot of young talent on both of these teams as well. Of course, Isaac Parker, the coach at Jeffersonville, been an assistant, but he's taking over as the head coach this year and obviously goes into the rivalry for the first time as a head coach. Steve Cooley, it's very interesting. He taught at Jeffersonville. He coached at Jeffersonville for a number of seasons. Now he's obviously teaching at New Albany and coach of the Bulldogs. He has an outstanding perspective on this rivalry. We've talked with him a lot about that before on this program and on our other high school coverage. In fact, we'll talk with him about that tonight on the kickoff show when he joins us in the 6 o'clock hour, Coach Parker as well. But some interesting perspective he has on this series. I think it's going to be a great game. The weather's supposed to be good, somewhat fall-like temperatures after some hot days earlier this month, earlier here this summer, but should be a great game. I think there's some excitement out in both communities. You know, there are years, and I hate to say this, where the game has been buried later in the schedule, and the teams have not had great records. And so by that point of the season, maybe some of the fanfare and the interest from students and fans has been lost. That's not the case this year. Even though neither team is undefeated and neither team has really had a banner year over the first 2 weeks, I think that tonight could turn the table for one of these teams potentially. And both are entering a very, very tough stretch of their schedule as well. So tonight is a big game because after this, Columbus East and Floyd Central and some other big games coming up in a reasonable order, similar order for both teams. So tonight is a big game as far as the Hoosier Hills Conference goes, as far as building momentum for the middle part of the season and a lot more. And, of course, now, after a couple years of Jeff remaining in 6A, New Albany dropping back to 5A, Jeff's back in 5A as well. So these teams could potentially meet for a second time in the playoffs in the sectional round of the tournament also. So another interesting storyline is that this now is a potential postseason matchup again. New Albany, Jeff, one of our feature games tonight, but some other good ones tonight in the area. Really like Silver Creek and Providence. The Dragons are the favorite. They've had quite a start at 2-0 on the season. Providence could use a big win after losing at Floyd Central last week to a bigger school. Vincennes Lincoln, it's a new opponent this year for the Highlanders, but Floyd Central will play host to them. It starts a little later, 7:30, the kickoff in that contest. Clarksville, after a big win, snapping a long, long losing streak last Friday night. That was a lot of fun to cover that game and to talk with Coach Bozier after the conclusion of that victory for the Generals. They go to Charlestown tonight, and Charlestown, a lot of talent on that team, looking to get its first win of the season after a very, very tough start to the season as far as their schedule goes with games against Silver Creek and also Brownstown to start the year. Rock Creek is in action down in Lexington, Kentucky tonight. They take on Lexington Sayre. That's a look at the headlines presented by Zaxby's on this Friday program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. IU basketball on tap. Lots of IU hoops topics to talk about at this time of year. We'll cover a lot of ground next with Jared on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. On Fridays, we have the opportunity to chat with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, and he is with us today for some IU basketball discussion on the program. Jared, it has been an interesting time in the offseason for IU basketball, specifically recruiting. the commitment of Jordan Geronimo earlier this week and some developments here over the last couple days. A new offer in the 2020 class to a player in New York named Andre Curbelo. And then also another player that Indiana is tracking in the 2020 class, Dawson Garcia, tweeting out yesterday that he's going to cut his list soon. I don't know if that's going to be down to a final handful of schools or if that will still be a number of schools that he will consider as he moves forward in the recruiting process. But with visits in the fall, with commitments in the fall, this is a busy time of year for recruiting, even though we may not have college basketball officially here yet, and it's been some big time for Indiana here in recent weeks.
Yeah, it has. You know, the offseason really got off to kind of a slow start. You know, June, July, not a lot was happening. There were no commitments in the class of 2020. And then, boom, all of a sudden, now we've got three with Trey Galloway, Anthony Liu, and then really the surprise commitment by Jordan Geronimo. Obviously, he, you know, came on an official visit. And it's been a while since someone has, you know, committed right after an official visit like that. And, you know, like you said, some of these other guys, you know, my philosophy has always been I try not to pay too much attention to them until they take the official visit. But I think with Dawson Garcia, you know, that one with a high-level player like that, you know, a top 30-type player who really, when you look at the composition of the 2020 class and what the roster is going to look like moving forward, you know, in addition to obviously getting another point guard, you know, getting a versatile big like Garcia would really – you know, kind of complete the kind of roster that Archie's trying to put together. And so I think that one definitely warrants some watching. I think it would be a big surprise if Indiana is not in that final list. And then, you know, we wait to see if they get a visit. Hopefully that visit is for Hoosier Hysteria because, you know, that's a chance for Indiana to really put its best foot forward. But that one definitely bears watching because that guy's a really good player.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest, talking IU basketball on this Friday program. Lots going on right now, also gearing up for the season. The exhibition opponent was announced earlier this week. We're beginning to see some more projections for the Big Ten Conference. Saw Lindy's magazine. We talked with Alex about that yesterday. Had the Hoosiers picked to finish 10th in the conference, which I know makes a lot of fans a little on edge about a prediction that low in conference play this year, which of course would very unlikely be if Indiana did finish at that 10 mark, a NCAA tournament bid. That said, you and Alex had a chance to talk a little bit about not just Indiana, but the Big Ten Conference and Michigan State, who I think is the unanimous favorite, according to most people, for the conference this year with Brendan Quinn in the most recent edition of Podcast on the Brink, which can be found at the InsideTheHall.com website. And I'm curious, as we get closer to the season and as we start to realize the schedules and take a look at the matchups and all the non-conference stuff is now set, what type of NCAA tournament conference do you see? Could you project the Big Ten Conference being this year? And I know that's difficult because you'd like to say that Indiana's going to be one of those NCAA teams in the Big Ten tournament, in the Big Ten Conference, excuse me. It's definitely possible, but when you look at the conference from top to bottom, starting with Michigan State, starting with some of the other teams that are expected to have great years in college hoops this season from the conference, what type of year overall could it be, and how many bids sitting here in September would you care to project the conference could get?
It's a good question. I don't think the Big Ten will be as strong, certainly at the top or maybe in the top half, as it was last year. I think Michigan State is obviously fantastic. They're a national title contender, the prohibitive favorites, you know. But then you kind of look after, you know, after them, and most people have Ohio State and Maryland up there. And, you know, that's fine. Those are two talented teams, but those are teams with a lot of question marks. And, you know, you look at the difference between the conference where it was last year and where it is this year. You know, last year you had teams like, you know, like Purdue and like Michigan that really, you know, coming into the season, you know, looked to be really, really good teams, you know, and had star-level players. And so you don't have that. Obviously, Michigan's, you know, dealing with a completely new coach, you know, and Purdue's obviously going to be dealing with the loss of a high-volume player like Carson Edwards, and that reshuffles everybody's role. So I think the Big Ten, it's going to be really interesting because I think it's really deep. Like, I don't think Northwestern's going to be very good, and I think Nebraska, you know, it's the first year with Fred Hoiberg, and they're bringing in all kinds of new transfers and stuff, so they'll probably pull off an upset or two, but I don't expect them to be real good. But I think all the rest of the teams, you know, are good enough to win a game on any given night, and so that's going to make for a really deep conference, and I think it's going to make for just some entertaining kind of topsy-turvy games especially since, you know, I mean, 2 through 12, it's as close as maybe it's been in a long time. What that does to NCAA tournament hopes, I don't know, because last year the Big Ten really made waves by pulling off a lot of big wins in the non-conference. You know, Michigan beating Villanova and some of the other wins, you know that happened early in the season. Will that happen again? You know, obviously it remains to be seen, but I'm not quite as confident that will happen. And so if the non-conference resume of the conference isn't quite as good, you know, that could lead to the conference itself not getting quite as many bids. So that's kind of a long roundabout way to say, you know, you can probably feel pretty good about 5 or 6, you know, usually with the conference, but it might be a little bit harder to get up to that 7, 8, 9 level, you know, that we've seen it get to before. But, you know, as always, we'll know a lot with what happens in the non-conference. And maybe, you know, Ohio State and Maryland are able to live up to the hype, and some of those other teams from the middle of the pack are able to be better than we expect. And certainly we hope one of those teams is Indiana.
Absolutely. Jared Morris with the Assembly Call, our guest. We talk IU basketball on Fridays with Jared. And, of course, Jared also hosts the Assembly Call post-game shows, which are heard once the season gets here on the Big X Sports Radio and the Assembly Call radio show here on the Big X as well. And you can find out more at assemblycall.com. All right, as we get closer to the season, I was looking yesterday with that exhibition game scheduled for late October. We are within 2 months. We are really going to start counting down weeks here very soon before you know it. What's next for you to signal that the college basketball season is here? The schedule's out, the exhibition opponent's out, Hoosier Hysteria date has been set. Is there a point of the college football season, is there a point of the fall where you're like, all right, this is my marker, we're getting close, I can handle it from here, it's close enough, college hoops is returning. What is that point for you? Because we are getting close. I know it doesn't seem like it, but college football is underway, and once that clock begins, it unwinds quickly to the college hoop season as well. And it seems like earlier and earlier things move up a smidge every year. So what is that point for Jared Morris? Because I know you're waiting on pins and needles like all of us.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I'm so hyper-focused on basketball that it kind of always feels like the season is right around the corner. because, you know, I mean, we do shows every week, and so, you know, now that we're kind of focused on it year-round, I guess, you know, obviously Hoosier Hysteria is going to be a big one. I think that's a big marker for everybody. But I think, you know, once the guys start practicing and you start seeing some of those social media videos, you know, I'm anticipating a social media video where Justin Smith probably makes 10 three-pointers and doesn't miss. You know, probably, you know, a scrimmage video where, you know, Al Durham hits the last second three to end it. We saw that with Devontae Green last year. So, you know, once you start seeing some of those fun videos come out where you see kind of peaks into the workouts and into practice, and you can start gaining irrational confidence, you know, that guys have maybe, you know, developed these skills that we've been hoping that they developed. You know, that to me, those are really kind of the next signals. And you try as hard as you can to not put too much stock into those, but they're fun to watch. And the off season is the time for irrational confidence anyway. So I indulge those completely.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is our guest. I do want to hop back to recruiting stuff for just a moment. And of course, with the commitment of Geronimo, I know there's been a lot of excitement. It's just different. I've done my best. We've had his prep school coach on. We've talked with each day, I think this week, with our IU-centric guest about what they know about Geronimo and the addition to the program that he is. And there obviously has been lots of excitement because of the upside he has, and also because of the upside that he showed this past summer and spring. He really even took steps, it seemed, each month this past off season as well. Your take on Geronimo, and I know it's different because with Leal and Galloway, they're right here in the state. We get to see them. They're on TV occasionally. It's a much more familiar position. You know their coaches. You know their opponents. You got all sorts of people that can give you reads on their game. Not necessarily the case when it's a player from a New England prep school, which is miles and miles away from here and not really covered or promoted the same that Indiana high school basketball is. But clearly, Geronimo's a talent, and I'm curious your thoughts on his addition and him as a player.
Well, you know, the first thing that has just leapt off the page every time you read something about him is just the enthusiasm that he has for Indiana. And I think all IU fans love seeing that. You know, talked a lot, you know, the narrative about, you know, Indiana needing Indiana guys and all of this, it's been overplayed. You know, what's more important than the state that a guy comes from is the enthusiasm level that he has for where, you know, for where he is in college. And when you see a guy like that, that just comes to Bloomington, falls in love with everything that Indiana is about, their love for basketball, the coaching staff, and is just ready to commit, especially a high-rising guy that was starting to get more attention, that really makes you feel good about the attitude that he's going to bring to Bloomington. You know, so no matter where a guy is from, you like to see that. So that really jumped off. You know, I think the other thing is you see how much he's developed. I mean, this is a guy who was not ranked by Rivals, was not ranked by 24/7. His first appearance in the rankings was just in this most recent run of rankings, and he was in the top 100 in all of them. So, you know, that's impressive to see that, you know, it's not maybe just one recruiting service that kind of sees it, or it's not just, you know, a couple of colleges that saw him had a good game and he's getting bigger offers. Like, it is a pretty widespread opinion that this guy has gone from off the radar to one of the 100 best players in the class and has a ton of potential to keep growing. So that's great to see. And look, you know, we were having a text exchange yesterday before the show, you know, Brian and Coach and Andy and I, and the two names that kept coming up as we were discussing Geronimo were Victor Oladipo and OG Anunoby, and it didn't feel forced. And, you know, he's ranked right now higher as a high school prospect than either one of those guys is. Now, is that an unfair expectation to put on a guy to be as good as those two guys? Yeah, probably. But when you project the things that he does right now and, you know, how he could grow with 2, 3, 4 years in a college system, it's a reasonable comparison because he's got high-level athletic ability. He really has an attacking mindset. He's got an aggressive mindset when he's around the basket. And he's shown that he can step out and make threes. And, you know, you don't get to see it much in highlight videos, but when you hear his coaches talk and when you see the scouting reports about him, you know, he's a willing and pretty instinctive defender. And so, you know, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to come in and be a great creator. He doesn't seem real comfortable, real aggressive off the dribble. But, you know, he's going to be a guy that is, you know, going to be able to cut, going to be able to get offensive rebounds, going to be able to step out and make corner threes, you know, maybe as soon as his freshman year. And that's how he'll be able to contribute. And obviously be a defensive player. And if he can, you know, show some of the development as a ball handler and just as a more well-rounded offensive player, like what we saw Victor and OG, you know, do in their years at Indiana, you know, he has got a very high ceiling. And I like it because it's good. You know, you pair him, you know, in a class with a guy like Trey Galloway, who is more of a high player, lower ceiling type player. And now you've got Jordan Geronimo that, you know, I mean, if you said this guy will be in the NBA in a couple of years, you know, obviously, again, you know, it's probably unlikely to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility because of his athletic talent and how much he's improved. And so I think, you know, when you can bring a guy like that into your program and he's got the kind of attitude that this guy seems to have, I think it's a really, really good addition. Now, you know, you hope with the rest of the class of 2020 that they can balance it out with another ball handler and with a big. But, you know, I think when you have an opportunity to get a guy like that, you take it. Indiana did. And I really, really am excited to see how he progresses at Indiana.
Yeah, no question. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. We're talking IU basketball. We do this every Friday with Jared here on the program. Anything else recruiting-wise? I know we covered some of the names to start the segment, but as far as where Indiana turns to next, there's not really that clear front runner. Matt Cross is off the board, which I think is somewhat expected after the Geronimo commitment. You know, there's some higher-level players. Indiana's hoping to make final cuts and hoping to get on campus, which might take the recruitment up to a serious level. But any thoughts on where Indiana could turn next? Or I saw a new guy, Curbelo from New York, offered yesterday, kind of an interesting player, a point guard, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now it's just wait and see who takes official visits. You know, I think it's pretty clear that they would like to get a big guy and they'd like to get a ball handler in this class. And, you know, obviously Caleb Love is a guy that's been talked about for a while. I don't know how realistic that is. The Davis kid from out east, he has set up some visits. Indiana doesn't have one yet. We'll see about Curbelo if he takes a visit. So, you know, they clearly have some irons still in the fire. But right now, you know, there's not, you know, a guy like a Matt Cross was where it's like, okay, we're waiting on this decision. It's seems like Indiana's in the final two or three. They've really been, you know, kind of connected with this guy for a long time. Let's wait and see. You know, and maybe it'll happen quickly. Now it's really more of a longer wait and see. And so I think, you know, if you're kind of watching this as an observer, you know, pay attention to the names as they fly by and to the news because it's interesting. But I wouldn't get serious about any recruits until they take official visits. And if they do, then Indiana has a seat at the table and you put your best foot forward and you hope to get them. But, you know, it's a little bit of a wait and see right now. And so I think Garcia is the biggest name, like I said. But any of these other you know, ball handler point guards that Indiana's been with, obviously you'd like to get them on campus because you can never have too many of those guys.
Talking to Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Jared, have a great weekend. Thanks for the chat. Glad we've been able to reconnect after some schedule conflicts. Look forward to a conversation next week as well.
I agree. My pleasure, Matt.
All right, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us Fridays here on the Hoosier Report as we talk IU basketball. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us as well on Fridays, and he's next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Friday program. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, my guest always on Fridays in this segment. And Kyle, we talk a lot about recruiting, a lot about basketball, and we've talked a lot about how good some of the upcoming classes are in high school basketball. And as some of the national rankings get released, I've mentioned some of the older classes here recently, the 2020 class, specifically some of the rankings for the IU guys. But the younger classes on a national level have lots and lots of representation from the Hoosier State, and you kind of summarized things in a story recently, but to kind of follow up on all the players and all the in-state excitement we're going to have to track over the next couple of years that you and I always get to talking about, national level as well, the recruiting analysts, the college coaches, they're seeing that, and that's evident by how many players from some of our younger classes specifically are ranked in the state of Indiana on a national level.
Yeah, this is kind of the time of year where the recruiting sites put out new national recruiting rankings, and it is interesting to go, you know, you look at the 2020 class, and a lot of those guys are, you know, we don't have a lot of top 75 guys necessarily this year. I think Jaden Ivey might have been the, you know, one of the higher ones, and I think he was right outside that level. And Nigel Pack, of course, from Lawrence Central, who's going to Kansas State, is in that area, and DeAndre Davis, who's going to Nebraska, but you know, and Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, who are IU recruits, are I think right outside the top 100. But yeah, you go down to that 2021 class, and you know, you kind of go back to, you know, getting some of those higher ranked guys, the Christian Lander, namely from Evansville Wrights, who is, I think, by all measures, by all recruiting services, is considered a top 25 player in that class. So, and you know, it's a class that I think, and as I saw more of it this summer, looks to have, you know, you got that top level guy like Lander, who's a top 25 guy, but then, you know, a guy like Trey Kaufman, who continues to rise, and he's considered a top 100 guy from Silver Creek. You know, he's a guy I think who could go even higher. Caleb First, I know we've talked about him a lot on this show, and he's you know, a top 40 guy by most recruiting services. So, and I think there's going to be more. You know, when I talk to people about Blake Wesley from South Bend Riley, he is very highly thought of, and I think it's just a matter of being seen more. For his stock to continue to rise, and I think he's now top 100, but he's maybe a name that's not quite as well known as those other guys, and you know, I think the more he gets seen, and as his career goes on, we'll have a chance to see him play more, and he'll become more of a name that's known. But you know, Luke Goody, Jalen Blackman, Pierce Thomas, J.R. Kaczynski from South Bend St. Joseph's, who's going to Notre Dame, I mean, all those guys are, you know,
ranked, top 150 or whatever. So, and that's a class that goes beyond that too. I mean, it's just very, very deep. 2022, you know, we're still finding out about, but there's another guy in that class who's a top, you know, top 20, Jalen Washington from Gary West. I had a chance to write about him this summer, and you know, it reminds me of Jaren Jackson a little bit, who's playing in the NBA now. You know, he just looks a lot like him as far as when he was that age. So he's a guy who's, I can't imagine he'll fall, you know, out of that top 25 unless something weird happens. But he's really, really good. So, yeah, those younger classes, it kind of reminds you of some of those vintage years that we've had here in Indiana. And, you know, not only the top level guys, but the depth of those classes, especially 2021. That's a class that really seems to me like, you know, they're just, you see another kid, and you look at the roster and they're in that class. So it's just, you know, there's just a lot of depth in that, with that group. And I can't wait for basketball season to see as many of these guys as we can and kind of see how they do this year.
Yeah, no question about it. Speaking of Christian Lander, I know this has been announced previously, but he's going to take an official visit. Of course, underclassmen can do that now. 5-year junior year, 5-year senior year, one to Louisville coming up later this month at Louisville's kickoff to the season. They call it Louisville Live. So his recruiting, we talked a lot about it over the summer, how it really picked up, how the scholarship offers weren't just Indiana or Midwestern offers anymore. It really had expanded, and Louisville seems to be in a position, as good a position maybe as Indiana or anyone else with Christian Lander at this point. But he's going to get some campus visits this fall. There's no question about that.
Yeah, he's. I think Louisville and IU are kind of the names you hear most with him. But yeah, he's more of a national recruitment, I would say. And those Midwest schools like you know, U of L and IU have a good shot at him. But he's a guy who's got his name out there by this point. And I like that they can take visits early now and kind of get a chance to you know, see what's out there and you know, kind of hone in on you know, getting serious about their recruitment a little bit earlier than they used to. I think that's beneficial to the player and the school, probably, to know, you know, what they've got coming. And you know, I think that was a good change they made a few years ago. But yeah, Lander's going to be, you know, he's I think we all know by this point what type of player he is. And you know, it'll be curious to see if he can kind of take his game to another even higher level and even more dominance as a junior this coming year. But I think, you know, after seeing him play several times this summer, he's definitely worthy of the accolades he's getting right now.
Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us. Lots of basketball, lots of recruiting, and of course Kyle covers high school sports with a focus in metro Indianapolis but across the state as well. And one of the things that I know has caught your attention, my attention, it's become a talking point among coaches, among people involved in sports and people that organize sports, whether it's an athletic director at a local high school or whether it's somebody that's involved in other travel sports and things like that, is parents these days. There have been more and more news stories where there are fights, there are arguments, there are police called to events that involve kids or high school students in sports that years back you just didn't see stuff like that happen. Occasionally there could be a flare-up between kids or between teams, but for the most part, thinking back on things somewhat historically, not a lot of recollection of parents getting involved in situations or parents being removed from games on a regular basis. But with travel sports, now it's almost common to see players, or I should say to see parents ejected from games, or parents confront referees, or parents get into it with their kid's own coach, maybe over their thought of lack of playing time or whatever it may be. And the issue has gotten serious enough, even at the high school level, Kyle, that Bobby Cox, the Indiana High School Athletic Association commissioner, and also one of the executive directors, or the executive director, I should say, Carissa Niehoff, of the National Federation of State High School Athletic Associations, which is kind of the governing body that all the state associations report to and coordinate with, they're beginning to do a little bit of marketing on their end and a little bit of research on their end. In fact, there was a was a op-ed that was released by Bobby Cox and Carissa Niehoff that addressed this issue pretty squarely, and it was disseminated to the media in Indiana, to all the schools and athletic directors in Indiana, and I've seen it everywhere. The Indianapolis Star, the Courier-Journal in Louisville, it's been printed in most papers. It's interesting that we are to this point where the state association is going and putting people on notice that this type of behavior is going to be watched and it's just simply not going to be tolerated in high school sports. It's really amazing where we're at in society that this is even something we're talking about today.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's probably a good reminder and, you know, to get the conversation started and get it out in the open. And, you know, I know you and I are probably in the gym or in the arena more than maybe the common fan is, or, you know, somebody who maybe follows it from afar, or, you know, even follows us on Twitter or whatever, you know, and they're not at every, and they don't have to be, that's not their job, like ours is to be at these games more often. But yeah, I know there's things I've seen through the years that are just unbelievable, and from people you would think would know better. And I, you know, and there's part of this, you know, the op-ed is, I think it's good. I think it gets conversation out there. It gets people thinking, you know, when they go to the games, or at least they should be, you know, to not act like an idiot. And that should be anybody's thought going anywhere they go. But some, you know, being a fan, you know, fan is short for fanatic, and people get crazy sometimes, and there's a rooting interest, and, you know, so, and even me, you know, at coaching my kids, or, you know, you're biased for your kids and your kids' friends, and you know, so you have to fight that internally sometimes, and have to know that, all right, I mean, even if a call goes against us, it's not like this ref is intentionally, you know, screwing us. You know, you can't think that way. But, you know, I think most people can do that without, you know, acting like a fool in the arena. I think what's happening, though, is and it's interesting. I think maybe there's more stories to be done on this, and I know people have written about it, but I think more people now are so invested financially in youth sports. I mean, youth sports is a $1 billion business. So, you know, you go through the kids' elementary school years, and you're spending money. I mean, you're spending money to play on teams and play on travel teams and go to games and entry fees and tournament fees and equipment. And so you're invested financially, you're invested socially, you're invested so many different ways that I think there's more. It's not just like my parents were, where they would just, you know, they would maybe coach here and there, but basically you're just showing up to watch the games and cheer your kid on. Now, you know, I think us as adults now are way more invested in our kids' athletic, you know, careers, you know, even at a very young age. So I think that's part of why you see what's happening here. You know, people are just, you know, they're more emotionally invested because of the way the system is set up now. And, you know, so I think that's part of it. And there's part of this, too, that of the op-ed. I don't necessarily, there's one part of it that says, you know, and I agree with this. I mean, you know, you don't critique your child's performance on the car ride home, you know, and that is hard sometimes. I know as a dad not to do that. You know, but part of that also says, too, participating in high school sports is about character development, learning and having fun, which is right. And it says not winning and losing. And I would argue that high school sports is about winning and losing. And it's also about, you know, character development through winning and losing. So that part I sort of, you know, it's not like I have an issue with it. I mean, all of this is great stuff. So I'm glad they did it. But I don't think we need to lose the sight of, you know, winning and losing matters. I mean, it shouldn't. That's why you do that. That's why you do it. I mean, you as a competitor, you know, what are you out there for? You know, and it's not the most important thing in the world, but you play to win, and you learn through losing. You learn through adversity. You learn, it makes you a better competitor in the long run. And, you know, you may not remember the games you win and lose specifics and all that stuff, but so that part is one, you know, just one issue I had. It's not a big deal, but I do think, you know, we can't totally lose sight of, you know, winning and losing. That's why we have a scoreboard. It does matter. But I think you can learn, you can develop character through winning and losing, through competing. So, you know, I think it's all good. I mean, it's a great conversation to have, and I'm glad they put this out there and continue to make this a priority, because people need to think about this stuff, you know, when they go to game, when they go to high school games or any level of game.
No question. Kyle Medenrip of the Indianapolis Star. And if you didn't read the op-ed, it's every place. You can go to the IHSA website or the Indianapolis Star. Many others have printed this, which is a great thing, and I'm sure it's something that we'll talk about moving forward. One other issue, Kyle, that I wanted to bring up with you is another very interesting issue for September with the high school basketball season just around the corner. I'd like today to be talking to you about Jeffersonville and how good they are projected to be, and where maybe you see the Red Devils in the 4A rankings way early in the preseason. But instead, we're going to talk about the Red Devils needing a coach. Joe Luce departed the program a little bit unexpectedly toward the end of last week. Lots of rumors around that. But the Red Devils right now are looking for a coach, whether it be an interim coach to go 1 year, whether it be a permanent coach that maybe will leave another school in September and come to Jeffersonville and take the program on, not only for this season but moving forward. There are multiple ways, different options that this could be done, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people interested, especially in that job on a permanent basis, given that Jeffersonville is a traditionally strong program. Basketball is still important in Jeffersonville, and of course there's a lot of talent moving through that program right now. What's the word across the state? There has to be people floored to hear that Jeffersonville's coach is out this close to the season.
Yeah, I had some conversations about that last week, and you know, I think early in the week it was kind of known that it was coming, and I think that was last week, if I remember right, Matt. But yeah, it was. I think Tuesday or Wednesday, I had gotten word that was going to happen, and yeah, just really, really surprising because of the group they have coming back there. And you know, I would say, you know, without looking at it completely, and every team and everybody, you know, we haven't got that far, at least I haven't, into previewing the season. But you know, Jeffersonville's a top 10 team, no doubt, and probably a team that has a chance to go even farther than that. So really surprising, you know, that, you know, Joe Luce is a name that everybody knows in the state, and you sort of assume that would be a team that, you know, looked really solid and still should be, and I'm sure a lot of people interested in that position. But yeah, really, really surprising news, big news, and you know, hope everything's good with Joe and what he's got going forward. But that'll throw things up in the air just a little bit for this upcoming season. But that team with Trey Coleman and everybody else they have coming back, that's a group that can really do some damage this year if they all get on board with the new coach, and look forward to seeing what happens with them this year.
Absolutely. Kyle Medenrip of the Indianapolis Star with me Fridays. Kyle, always great to catch up. What Indianapolis area high school game are you headed out to tonight?
I'm actually headed down to Lucas Oil Stadium for the Lawrence North, Lawrence Central game. And, you know, big reason, Lawrence North is top 10 in the state. They haven't been that for a long time. And they haven't beat LC in the last 14 games. So this is a huge opportunity for them. You know, it should be a great atmosphere. It's a battle of Lawrence, and always a fun night. They have the middle school games played beforehand on the turf there at Lucas Oil, and you know, should be a lot of fun, and a youth game, I think, it's starting at 5. So it should be a fun night for all the Lawrence Township people to get out there and watch these two teams play each other.
Absolutely. Enjoy the night. Should be just a beautiful evening for high school football, it looks like, across the state of Indiana. Some big games highlighted by New Albany and Jeffersonville tonight. Enjoy the evening. And, Kyle, as always, thanks for the time to catch up with you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Kyle Medenrip of the Indianapolis Star. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program again tonight. Hopefully you're going to be out at a game. It's high school football. It's cheap. It's great entertainment. take the kids, support your local high school, your favorite high school, and, of course, big rival game tonight, New Albany and Jeffersonville. That's going to be a fun environment. With the good weather, I expect a huge turnout. You know, there's not been that New Albany-Providence game to kick things off, so I think there's still an itch for fans of those schools to be part of a big environment and a big game. And with Jeffersonville and New Albany earlier on the schedule, tonight is an opportunity. I'll be with you tonight from 6 o'clock on. We'll start with the kickoff show, and I'll have interviews with Steve Cooley and also Isaac Parker on that program. And then tonight we'll focus with our play-by-play coverage. New Albany and Jeff will be one of our games. We'll flip around to Providence and Silver Creek as well. I've got call-in reports lined up from other games across the area. I'll be in studio to anchor the coverage with updates and scoreboards throughout the evening, so you always know what's going on in Southern Indiana football tonight. So make sure you're with us here on the Big X. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.